nothing. You're everything. I cannot do nothing without you. You tell me in your word. You remind me that without you I can do nothing. And I know that readily well. Father, I ask you now to help me, touch me fresh as you see fit of thy power. Use me, preach me as you want me, in what speed or what volume or what degree, God. It's all up to you. It's not up to me. I ask you tonight that the content might remain in our mind and our heart, and that decisions will be made in the positive, not the negative, tonight. I pray, oh God, that we seek you. Seek your presence daily, not just on Sunday, but that we seek your presence daily, that we walk with you, talk with you, enjoy you for your wonderful salvation. Thank you for it all. Please cleanse me, forgive me of everything that would even be a shadow of sin, and help me tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. In Exodus chapter 20, we looked this morning, and we dealt with this a little bit of reminder about what absolutes is. We're living in a day where there's no absolutes. Even though there are, there's not wanting to be acknowledged. And there are absolutes, and that's unchangeable. There's some things that's unchangeable tonight. There's some things that's the way it is, period. And that's it. That's just the way it is. And people say, well, that's a bad attitude. No, the Word of God is one of them absolutes. There's no change in it. There's no change in the Lord. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's no change. You understand that? It says in James that in whom there's no variableness, neither any shadow of turning. So there's not even a variableness. I mean, it's just the switch is pulled. That's the way it is. It's on. It's wired direct. That's the way it is. And there's an absolute with God. There's not but one God. Now, true God. There's little gods. And we all have little gods or have had little gods. Now, we may not now. We may not even tonight. But if we're not careful, we will. We'll make them. And whatever God we make will become that. Psalms 115 will tell us that. Whatever gods we make, we soon become that. All right? So if we make a god and an idol or a little god is anything that's between us and the true God, if we're not careful what we make there, that's what we'll become. And not only will we lose interest, but we'll lose influence. It's one thing to lose interest. I got to be careful that I don't lose influence. Everybody still follow me? Now, we look here in Exodus chapter 20, and these are the commandments. And the commandments, in a sense, are written in a negative sense, that thou shalt not. Thou shalt not, right? Everybody understand that? But that means the opposite then is the positive. Thou shalt not have no other God before you. Then that means you should have the true God before you. Thou shalt not bow down to graven images or to another God. Thou shalt bow down to the real God. Thou shalt not murder. That means you don't murder, but that means that you make sure you keep them alive. You know what I mean? There's the opposites. So it's written in the negative. Everybody understand what I'm saying there? So when we look here at verse 4 and 5, Exodus 24 and 5, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. I'm going to stop right there. And that's where we really took off from this morning. Thou shalt not bow down to them, but thou shalt bow down to the real God. And that bowing down is worship. If you look up the word worship and go down through all the meanings of it, and it's going to be to bow down, but it's going to be to adore or to adore with extravagant love, to adore as a lover. To worship, to be the intimate, to come to God, bow down to there's nobody else. I mean, the top of the line, he's it. That's what it means when we come to worship. And this morning we tried to preach, if we could, was trying to preach on another absolute. An absolute of God, that there's one but one God. An absolute of the truth, which is the Word of God. An absolute of the Word itself. which is God's word. That his word, Cheryl sung it in Sunday school this morning, that not one word has changed, not one promise has changed. But yet the Bible says that there's not going to be nothing changed in it, that he's going to preserve it. That's what the Bible teaches, that it's going to be preserved. So them are absolutes, okay? But then there's also an absolute when it comes to worship. There's an absolute when it comes to worship. And worship don't necessarily start at the church house, although it's important. Worship starts here. In my heart, worship starts down at the house. Can I tell you this? And I don't want to offend you in any way. Now, everybody's not like this. We all have our times of worship. And I'm not going to say that everybody's like this, but I'm going to say the majority of us really don't give a lot of thought of worship through the week. We give thought of worship on Sunday. We give that thought. That's the, we going to go to church, so we worship. But then when we come in, we don't really worship. We come in and we have our religious activity, but we really don't put forth no worship. We really don't put forth no faith or obedience. All right, we really don't put no forth no faith or sacrifice, even as I preached this morning. But that's something we ought to do, and we can only do it from our heart. But can I tell you, if you don't worship at church, I'm pretty well sure you don't worship at home. All right? If you can't worship at church when you're in the atmosphere of worship, when you're in the atmosphere of the Word of God, when you're in an atmosphere of other people that's wanting to worship, and you don't worship or can't worship, then you're probably not doing it at the house through the week. Okay? But sometimes we find it hard, even if we go to it through the week, we'll have a bad day on Sunday. Sometimes, listen carefully, sometimes there's a bad spirit comes to church. See, the Holy Spirit ain't the only one that comes to church. Sometimes there's a bad spirit that comes to church and hinders us from worship. All right? Sometimes we need to understand that we do warfare, and our mind, when it comes to worship, our mind then will be off on something else. And there's no concentration on the Word of God. Have you ever lost concentration when somebody's reading a verse? When somebody's preaching? When somebody's singing? You ever get off and I'm done. And then you, everybody else is sitting, you're still standing waiting because you just got a numb spot. Do you ever have that? I mean, we do that. All right? There's hindrances. Anything you're going to try to do for good, there's going to be a hindrance to keep you from it. Think about that. But we need to understand there is an absolute in worship. Now, can I give you a review real quick this morning or tonight about this morning? We looked at Genesis 22 about Abraham and Isaac, and we saw that worship required faith and obedience and faith and sacrifice. Abraham was obedient, going to kill his son. Isaac had faith and said, okay, do it. Okay? Isaac never fought it. He said, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the sacrifice? He said, the Lord's going to provide one. Isaac said, okay, go ahead and kill me then. Yeah. All right? So he was obedient to sacrifice. Abraham said, I'm going to kill my boy. And so that was obedience to, or faith to obedience. Are we okay with that? It required it. And he said, I'm going to go up on a mountain and worship. Remember? Everybody still with me? In Exodus 33, verse 10, we looked there that Moses was going into the tabernacle, and the sacrifices, everything had been made, but he was going in to talk to the Lord, to find out what all the Lord wanted, and the Lord was going to come there in a pillar, a pillar of a cloud there at the tabernacle. And that was going to signify the presence of God. Well, can I tell you that the Lord always did come a time when a sacrifice was accepted, when the blood atonement was accepted, he always showed up, there was presence there. But the people were at the house in their tent, and they was watching out the tent door, it says, and when they saw the pillar that they worshiped in their tent because they knew the presence of God was near. So we tried to show you that when we come to the house of God, when we get up in the morning, on Monday morning, we ought to seek the presence of God to worship. Now, I like to worship early in the morning. You don't have to worship early in the morning. But I like to get up early. Cheryl Ann's still in the bed. I get me a cup of coffee and my Bible. I'll go out on the porch and just me. And I like a little worship. I like to watch the sun come up, or right after it's come up, I like to sit there for a little bit. And I like to worship. Okay? Now that's my, I like that of a morning. Now, after the day goes, and phone calls, and this, and whatever has to be done, then a lot of times I'm not in the right frame to worship of an evening. Although I can. For me personally, I like the morning. Does everybody follow me? All right. Well, then I come to the house of God. And when I come to the house of God, it's on a purpose. I'm coming to worship on purpose. And I need to come seeking His presence. Not just on a porch or out in the shed, sitting on a chair, but on a purpose. Okay? We still, okay. And then we looked in Deuteronomy where we saw there that they brought their tithes and the first fruits and everything that they belonged and praised the Lord, and they worshiped in what they brought to the Lord. That's another way we can worship, okay? But can I tell you, worship still has to be absolute. To adorn with extravagant love. Keep that in your mind. You still with me? Matthew 2, we showed you still in the New Testament that the wise men came seeking the King, the presence. Can I tell you that if we come seeking the King, we're going to worship seeking the King. Nothing else matters. I need to seek the King of glory. All right. Then we looked at Acts chapter 24. Paul said that even though they was those who said it was heresy, that he worshiped with what was written by the prophets. And I'm here to tell you that there's a right way to worship, and we need the word. It needs to line up with the word of God. There's a lot of things that don't line up with the word of God that people do, but it don't line up with the Bible. All right. So we need faith and obedience, faith and sacrifice. We need the presence of God. These are absolutes, okay? We need to bring what we have for God to honor God. These are absolutes. We need to seek the King. We need to do it by the Word of God. And then in Psalms 96, we just throwed it up there, and it says to worship the Lord in holiness. In Philippians 3, we worship God through Jesus Christ or by Jesus Christ. Listen, we're not to do anything to God unless we come through and by Jesus Christ. I'm not to pray unless I pray in the name of Jesus. He said, ask anything in my name. That's what Jesus said. Ask anything in my name and I'll answer. If it's not asking His name, He ain't going to answer. Okay, understand that. All right. And then we looked at Nehemiah chapter 9. And that we read there, throwed it up just real quick, where it says that they got together and they had on their sackcloth. They prepared themselves and they put on sackcloth, which signifies humility. Okay? So we saw then they prepared, they had humility. Then they read the Word of God for a quarter of the day. And then they confessed and worshiped for a quarter of the day. And that was their worship service. A quarter of a day. That's a pretty good time. Okay? So that's what we looked at when we said absolute. Now, I want to draw your attention to something else now. We're more accustomed to worshiping here. Can you agree to that? We're more accustomed to worshiping at church than we are at home. Everybody don't take the time to worship at home. I'm just telling you, it's good. Some of the best times you'll have is when nobody's around. That's some of the best times. I want you to know. You and your Bible, sometimes that's the best time. When nobody else is around, nobody's talking to you, nobody's doing nothing. If it might not be but 10 minutes worth. That might be the best highlight of your week. Huh? When you spend a little time with the Lord. Because He is a person. See, I believe sometimes we forget that He's the absolute God, that He's real, that He's not a force, but that He's a person and lives in me. And when I come to worship, I worship Him that lives in me, who died for me, who loves me, who walks with me. I can worship Him. You know, if you come to our house through the day, let me tell you, if it's raining, if it's bad weather, you're going to find music, gospel music on the TV, or you'll hear Cheryl sitting at the piano playing, singing. There's worship atmosphere around the house when you come through. Not because we're perfect, that's just what we do through the day. All right? I'll be sitting out on the porch. Cheryl's got it cranked up inside. All right? If she not, if she's sitting by me, she's playing on her phone, singing. If I'm out there reading, she comes out there and plays me a song. I'm trying to read. She says, well, listen to this song. Listen to that song. Because she's been there once. She said, it's good for me. It'll be good for you, right? All right, but I'm just telling you, everybody don't do that. I understand. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you that there ought to be an absolute worship in our life. Everybody follow me? But we're used to coming to the house of God. Let me tell you some things, show you some things that's important when it comes to worship and the house of God. And we're going to look at some scripture, several of them real quick. How about Psalms 122? Throw it up there, Dave, if you would, with for me. Psalms 122. We know these verses, but I just want you to understand there's some importance to it. Psalms 122, how about verse 1? How about we just read the whole psalm? It ain't been 9 verses. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now why? Because they was going to meet with God. David was going to meet with the Lord. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Can I tell you, there's some importance to the house of God. Can everybody see that? I think there's some importance to the house of God. I come to the house of God to worship. Huh? We call this worship hour. Right? So I come to the house of God to worship. All right? How about Psalms 84? Psalms 84. I know you're tired. I know that. Just hang with me. Psalms 84 and verse 10. It said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I just want you to know there's just something about the house of the Lord. Huh? How about Psalms 27? Psalms 27. Verse 4. Psalms 27 verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Huh? How about Psalms 134? Everybody still with me? All right. Psalms 134, and then we'll get to the message tonight. Psalms 134, verse 1 and 2, it says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. That's a good verse for night services. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. And bless the Lord. Huh? It's okay to lift your hands up. I see it happen ever so often. It's okay to lift your hand up and bless the Lord. Huh? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. I lift them up at home. Amen. I'll mow. I'll be mowing. And I got to just stop and put the brake on. And lift my hand up and just praise the Lord while I'm mowing. Amen. Huh? I'll get around through there and I'll be thinking about a scripture. Clark told me this morning, he said, I woke up with this song on my mind. I said, I woke up with scripture this morning. All right. I'll be mowing. I'll think of a song. I'll have to get up my handkerchief and wipe the tears. I'll just stop down there in the middle of the field around the pond. I said, man, I look up, come around the corner, maybe look up back toward the house and say, boy, you be good to me. And I get to praying. I just got to stop. It gets good. Out there in the garden, looking at stuff coming up, and go out there and pull a handful of green onions or a handful of radishes. Man, God had been good. You know, God is good. You know, it's okay to worship. I'm already on my knees trying to work anyways. It's a good place, good position to worship. I'm just saying it's good. But to come to the house of the Lord and do it, and to get to come tonight. I got to come this morning. I got to come tonight. Hey, I'm going to get to come Wednesday. Hey, we're going to finish up on sanctification and start on glorification. You ought to be here Wednesday. We're going to look at that new body come Wednesday. Huh? I'm excited already and I ain't even there yet. Huh? Think about it. How about Psalms 150? We okay? I'm just telling you something about worshiping in the house of the Lord. You know, I love to come to see if you're going to be here. I love to come to see if you're going to lift your hand. Or see if you're going to praise the Lord. I love to come and watch. Jimmy, I love to come and watch you come and lay your Bible on your lap and get your handkerchief out and ready. I love it. Huh? Do you ever notice? Do you notice stuff like that? I do. Huh? Just get in your seat and, all right, just buckle up. Huh? And smile and, okay, what are we going to do first? We're going to sing. We'll shout first. We're going to sing. We'll pray. What are we going to do? It's just like a kid. What are we going to do? That we ought to be excited when we come to the house of the Lord, expecting His presence. Do you do that? I do that. I don't, oh, got to go to church. No, that's how you do with camp. Oh, I got to go to camp. At church, it shouldn't be that way. Huh? No, church, hey, I'm going to watch you worship. Huh? Huh? I like for it to get on to hear Judy Bell squall. Amen. I like, every now and then you'll hear even Bev Moore squall. I've heard Bev Moore squall a time or two. Yeah. Might not hear 10 words out of her a year. But can I tell you, it's exciting to worship. It's exciting to worship. I wish Miss Hope was healthier. I'd love to see her run around again. I love it. Huh? I love for you to testify and have one of them can't help it. You know what a can't help it is? Y'all remember what a can't help it is? I just can't sit no longer. Right. Huh? All them can't help it's are wonderful. Huh? We do that in the house of God. We do that in the house of the Lord. How about Psalms 150? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. I just want you to know worship at the church house is important. And there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a right way. The wrong way is what I want to look at tonight. The right way is what we told you is faith and obedience and faith and sacrifice and looking for His presence and bringing what we have to God and praising His name for His provision and seeking the King and by the Word of God. Them are all the right ways. Everybody follow me tonight? Now let's look real quick. Look real quick at the wrong way and how we need to be careful about worship and the house of God and our influence. Turn to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. We'll give you a good Bible example tonight. 2 Chronicles 26. And I'm not going to read we're going to be looking at 26, 27, and 28. And I suggest you read it after you get home or tomorrow morning for after your devotions or whatever. But I want to show you three simple things here that happens. And we better pay attention. We better pay attention when it comes to worship in the house of God and your influence. Now, daddies, I want all you daddies look at me tonight. You're setting the precedence for your home right now. Heard a preacher say the other day, he's dead now, but this is an old message. And they was talking about the home. And he said, somebody asked, he was telling a story, it wasn't about him, so somebody else. And he said, he said, when do I start teaching my kids right about church and about worship and everything? When do I start? When they're 5 years old? No man said no. He said, what about when they're maybe a year old then? He said, no. He said, when they're just a couple months old? He said, no. And then the woman said, well, then when? He said, you need to start with the grandparents. Teach the grandparents. so they can teach the parents, so the parents can teach the kids. Did you catch that? It ain't when you have your own family. It needs to start back. Huh? Hannah and Landon, Levi and Micah, and Laney and Wesley and Olivia, can I tell you, they need to be taught by Mark and Cheryl and Steve and Brenda down in Florida on how to worship. You follow me? So when they grow up, they're already teaching. They already know what to teach. Now I'm going to show you why it's important. We okay? Look at King Uzziah here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. King Uzziah here in chapter 26. Let's look at verse 4. And we'll skip around a little bit. Is everybody with me tonight? 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 24, or verse 4. And it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." Now that's Uzziah. King Uzziah, he did that which was right. That's a good thing, ain't it? Talk to me. Ain't that a good thing? He's got a testimony. He did right. Right? Now, drop down in verse 7. Or verse 5, rather. Verse 5. "And he sought God." Ain't that wonderful? That's a wonderful thing. He sought God. Drop down verse 7. "And God helped him." Ain't them three wonderful things? Verse 4, that he done what was right. Verse 5, he sought God. Verse 7, that God helped him. We okay with that? Wouldn't that be a good testimony? How many would like to have that testimony? I would love to have that testimony. But something happened. Something happened. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." He wasn't allowed to do that. He went in to worship, but he was wrong. He went in to worship, but he was wrong. Are you following me? There's a right way to worship, and there's a wrong way to worship. And he went in to worship wrong. He was lifted up to start with. He was lifted up with pride. He had no business. He wasn't in shape to worship. His heart wasn't right. Can I tell you tonight, we can't, if we will try to worship and our heart's lifted up in pride, it's wrong worship. Can I tell you, that's not the bad thing, it's what it leads to. See, he wanted to worship the way he wanted to worship. See, we're living in a day now that everybody wants to worship their own way. But there's an absolute when it comes to worship. All through the Word of God, we'll see it. Obedience. Faith and obedience, faith and sacrifice. The presence of God. By the Word of God. Right down the lines, what we give you this morning, what we just went over just now. Alright? That's right worship. That's the right method. Be prepared to prepare ourselves. As Nehemiah said in chapter 9. We prepare ourselves. It's so sad that we come to church and we almost waste a service because we wait to the end of it to get right with God. When we ought to be right before we get here so we can offer Him worship and praise as we're supposed to as children of God, when we come to His house for fellowship, needing one another's fellowship and testimony, that we give Him His honor and praise. But we wait till we get here. Then we got to wait till all the singing pumps us up. Then we got to wait till all the testimonies pump us up. Then we got to wait till the preaching till it convicts us and makes us feel like a dog. And then we go pray and it's time to go home. Is that not our mode of services? But why don't we go ahead and be right before we get here? And don't be lifted up with pride. Be sunken in humility with our sackcloth, huh, if you would, with the Word of God and coming in seeking His presence. See, there's a right way and a wrong way. But now, that ain't all that happened. Let's look and see what else happened. Verse 17, when Uzziah come, he wasn't allowed to burn incense. It had to be the preacher. Okay? So I'm not going to read it all, but if you'll read it there in verse 17 and 18, the preacher stopped him. Said, you ain't going to do it. And he got mad at the preacher. If you read this scripture, that Uzziah got mad at the preacher. Now I'm going to ask you, don't answer, because I already know anyway, but don't answer. But you ever get mad at the preacher on Sunday? You ever get mad at the preacher when you come in and you want to do your thing? And the preacher maybe preach something, say something, and you get mad at him? Huh? See, I know there's comments about the preaching. Man, it's a little hard, a little tough. I know it drifts back. It drifts back. I don't know about all that. It drifts back. It's okay. It's okay. It ain't, you're not offending me. Huh? I don't know that you can offend me. Huh? But then he got mad at the preacher, and he got mad at the preacher, so God said, well, just have leprosy then. Get mad at the preacher, he just give him leprosy. Did he get leprosy because he got mad at the preacher or because he wanted to worship wrong? It all comes together. Everybody still with me? Now hang with me now. Don't lose me now. He got mad. Well, not only got mad, he got put out of the church. Boy, would that be bad. Get mad at the preacher. Preacher puts you out because you get mad at the preacher. Go ahead and finish reading the chapter. He got leprosy, so he had to be put out. Because he was unclean, he wasn't allowed around the rest of the people. All right? So, church discipline, he didn't go to church no more. Uzziah didn't go to church no more because he tried to worship wrong in the house of the Lord. Everybody listening to me? He tried to worship wrong in the house of the Lord, and he got mad and had to be put out. Now, that's the bottom line. Everybody with me? And you say, well, I've never seen all that. Well, it's in there. Now let's look at verse 27, or chapter 27. All right? And let's start at verse, we'll start at verse 1, I reckon. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. We'll start at verse 1. And Jotham, that was Uzziah's boy. He was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusalem, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Well, wasn't you stand to reason? His daddy did that what was right, so he done what was right. Wasn't that stand to reason? Talk to me. According to all that his father Uzziah did, howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. He didn't go to church. He didn't go to church. Daddy started out right, loving the Lord, doing what was right, and started to do it his own way. And he got mad and didn't go to church no more. Sound like anybody you know? I've heard it, I've seen it all my life. Huh? And then their boy wanted to do right. They was raised right, wanted to do right. But nah, church ain't important. Dad got mad, he don't go no more, I ain't going. All because of wrong worship. We still okay? Everybody still follow me? I think it's important. I think worship's important. I think the right way is important. Huh? And then let's drop down to chapter 28. First generation wanted to do it their own way. Second generation said, well, I ain't no need me doing it my way. I just won't go at all. Third generation, look in chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his children in a fire after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills under every green tree. Can I tell you, that's the grandson of Uzziah. Because Uzziah started out right and went to church, but he wanted to worship wrong. And because he wanted to worship wrong, he ended up not going to church at all. And his son didn't go to church at all. And then his grandson done evil and had no dealings with church, but went against all the God that the church stood for and was against the church. And can I tell you, I can take you tonight to homes of three generations that fits perfect. I can take you to homes tonight. I can take you even to the graveyard and show you tombstones of homes of the past where this one got mad because they worshiped wrong and it wasn't the preacher's fault. It was their heart was wrong. And then it come down to the son and he quit. And it come down to the grandchild and they was hellions. Can I tell you tonight that there's a way we ought to come to God and God's house and worship? There's a way we ought to prepare ourselves. We're children of God. And that we ought to, there ought to be more expected of us than what they are of the world. And influence is so important. All because, now if you look back at Uzziah, he done what was right. The Lord helped him. All in thing. But then, because any strength, when everything was good, he got a little pride about him and started worshiping his own way. And after that, everything happened negative. I believe there's an absolute in worship tonight. I believe there's an absolute even when it comes to the house of God. I believe it's important. And I believe tonight, if I can't worship at the church house, I probably am not worshiping down at my house. Are you hearing me? If I'm not worshiping down at his house, I doubt very seriously if I'm worshiping at my house. That makes sense to you tonight? I'm just talking about the home, and I'm talking about how important it is that we do right by the home, and then we'll do right by the church, and then we'll do right by the city and the county and the state, and then our country will do right. But we better pay attention how we prepare ourselves for worship tonight. Me and Carolyn talk a lot about history of Mount Lookout and old ways. And me and Carolyn, we talk about old services. I have been so fortunate to see the demonstrations of God in church. I've also been misfortunate that I've seen the demonstrations of Satan in church. I've seen people shout, and then people get slapped. I mean, I've seen it the same way, all right, in the church house. But can I tell you, I'd much rather see the shouting than I would the slapping. Huh? There was wrong worship, and there's been right worship. I don't long for the old days, as I said this morning, of hard living and trying to scratch and get by. But I long for the days of when we would worship correctly. I long for the days when we would worship at home. I long for the days when we brought that worship into the church house, that our children are taught to worship and to honor. I always think of the story about the kids. It was playing, it was raining. The kids had to play inside and they was wanting to play hide and seek and they was running around and one of the kids got over there and was going to hide underneath the chair. And the boy that lived there said, "Whoa, you can't play there. That's daddy's prayer place." There was a sacred place in the house. There was a sacred time that kid understood there was a place you don't fool with because of the things ain't like that no more. Things ain't like that no more. We don't join hands and pray at the table no more because we don't eat at the table no more. Huh? We're too busy. We don't even thank the Lord together at the table anymore. We'll eat in front of the TV. Huh? Or we'll eat on the run. But we don't stop long enough to try to influence our children. I'm trying to help us tonight. These ain't just old ways. Well, that's the way all the old people, they done it the right way. They had the power of God. How come they had the power of God, seemed like, all the time? How come when they prayed, if things changed immediately? And now we got to pray for days and weeks, it seems like, to get anything. Because it's we've changed. How long has it been on a normal weekday? How busy have we done become that on a normal weekday that we sit around the table and set everybody up to the table and put the food on the table and hold hands and thank God and worship a little bit and ask, what did God do for you today? What kind of day did you have? How did He bless you today? That's not even in our minds to do that. But it used to be. It used to be when mommy hollered, everybody come to the table. There wasn't no eating. I won't eat. No, you didn't. You eat at the table. You sat together at the table. We pray. It wasn't just a little prayer. There was prayer at the table. Holding hands at the table. Huh? But we've forgotten that. And I believe why? Because we forgot about our absolute worship. And how to worship, and we're too big. We wait till Sunday. And we got all week built up. And we don't stop. There's a reason that Brother Boyd calls on Saturday evening. There's a reason that I'll even call through the week. Get ready. I call at 7 o'clock. I'm at 5 minutes after 7, from 5 after 7 to 15 after 7 is when I make my message on Sunday. All right? Now, that's not just to say something. But I want all the bus people to know that the buses are running on time, sure. But I want to encourage you. I want you to get you out. I want you to think about, we're getting ready to go to worship. Prepare. Huh? There's a reason for that. There's a reason everything ought to be set aside. Does everybody hear me? But you know what? I'm afraid maybe we do. Do you cut me off? Oh, that's just a preacher's message. I hope you don't just cut me off. Where's Gabby? Is she here tonight? Where's that little baby Gabby? What's Gabby's baby's name? Oakland. I don't remember all their names. Do you know she knows the preacher's voice? You know why? From the messages. This is the preacher. Now she's going to grow up knowing that voice. It's got something to do with God and something to do with this book and something to do with church. But they ought to be hearing it from you too. See, we've forgotten that. Our children grow up and we have empty nest syndrome. But we still can hold hands and pray, can't we? And we look at them empty chairs. Sometimes it's hard to eat a bite because we look at the empty chairs around the table and we say, what's the use? But there's still use. Because when Hannah and Landon come over, we set the table and we put the food out on the table and we dirty the dishes and we hold hands and we pray and we talk. And we'll talk about how good God is. And we'll talk about how He provided for this. And provided. Oh, God, help us not to forget the absolute of worship tonight. God, help us. God, help us to do that. Father, I come tonight, and you're so good, and you're worth so much more than what I give you. Help me to do better. Help me to do more. Help our people tonight. And we're thanking and praising you in Jesus' name. And amen.